Well, the reading is 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 to 21. Therefore, prepare your minds for action, be self-controlled, set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him. And so your faith and hope are in God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, if you're a Christian believer listening to this talk, how much difference does your faith make to how you live? How much difference does your faith make to your life? Well, the passage we've just read is one of the key parts of the Bible on how the mercy we have received from God, if we're trusting in Christ, should change how we live our lives. There's no doubt that we are living in hard times at the moment. Things are so stressful for so many people. Schools have been closed. Plans for exams are up in the air. Work has become more difficult or uncertain for many of us. We're not able to see friends and family. Well, the first readers of 1 Peter were also living in hard times. We saw last week in chapter 1, verse 6, they were suffering grief in all kinds of trials. So the letter goes on, we see in particular they were being insulted, excluded and persecuted for their faith in Christ. Now, when life is hard, the danger is that we get distracted from what is most important. We can feel like clothes in a tumble dryer. We're tossed around by forces outside our control. We feel we're going round and round in circles and getting hotter the whole time. Well, the danger when we're in the tumble dryer is that we get distracted from what God has done for us in Jesus and distracted from how this should shape our lives. So Peter wrote this letter to Christians who were in the tumble dryer of trials. And he reminds them, first of all, what God has done for them. Now, we saw this last week in verses 3 to 12. We saw that if we're believers in Jesus, God has given us new birth into a living hope. He's given us a fresh start, the forgiveness of sins, new life with him, and a future with Jesus that can never perish, spoil, or fade. If we are trusting in Christ, we have this because of God's sheer mercy to us. Well, now in verses 13 to 21, Peter explains the difference God's mercy should make to how we live. It's so important to get the order right. Many people think that the message of Christianity is if you live a good life, then God will accept you. That's not it at all. It's the other way round. God freely gives us new birth and a living hope as a gift when we trust in Jesus. And then he says, now this is how you should live in response to what I have already done for you. If you're listening to this talk and you're looking into the Christian faith, what we're seeing today is not how to get right with God. No, rather it's the difference that receiving God's mercy should make in our lives. And if you're a committed believer watching this talk, look out as we go through this passage for the motivations that Peter gives us to live this way. Well, there's so much in these verses. And in the original language, three things are underlined, three things are emphasized by being in the imperative, by being commands. And I'm going to make those three commands our three headings for today. First of all, then, set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. Now, verse 13 starts with the word therefore. This links us back to what Peter has said in verses 3 to 12. Because you've received this mercy from God, this is how you should live. Therefore, prepare your minds for action, be self-controlled, set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. Now, our hope is what we're looking forward to. And Peter says, set your hope fully on what you will be given when Jesus returns. If we're Christian believers, oh, that day will be wonderful. When Christ returns, we'll be given new bodies. Sickness and death will be behind us. When Christ returns, we'll be made completely like him. The battle with sin will be over. When Christ returns, we will live in God's perfect new creation. We will be with all God's people. Best of all, we will be with Jesus himself. And Peter says, put your hope fully on that. Make that the thing you are looking forward to. Now, to do that, we need to prepare our minds for action and be self-controlled. Peter is saying we need to think. We need to use our minds. Keep thinking about this future we will have when Jesus returns. And consciously and self-disciplined way, focus on it. Now, if you were running in the London Marathon, what would you look forward to help you keep going? Well, you'd look forward to the finishing line. You wouldn't be thinking, oh, how nice it will be to see the Tower of London. Oh, I'm looking forward to seeing the Bank of England along the way. No, you would be focused on the finishing line and that finisher's medal. That's what would help you keep going. Well, it's the same in the Christian life. We need to focus on the finish line. We need to focus on the grace to be given us when Jesus comes again. That's what helps us keep going with perseverance, with courage, with enthusiasm, and with zeal as we follow Christ. Now, I think this is very challenging because so many Christians hardly think about the finish line at all. We can go for days, even weeks, without thinking about what's ahead of us in eternity. All too often, our hope is set on things like, well, returning to normal at the end of COVID, on being able to go on holiday again, on seeing friends again. Now, those things are good, but to focus on them, it's like a marathon runner focusing on seeing the Tower of London as he goes past. It won't keep us going. We need to focus on the finish line. Now, Christians, the great motivation is that God has already given us this wonderful future. We have an eternity ahead of us that cannot perish, spoil, or fade. And so we need to use our minds. We need to learn about it in the Bible, think about it, and look forward to it. If you're a Christian, what are you looking forward to in life? Well, our instinctive answer should be, oh, eternity with Jesus when he returns. That's the first command that Peter gives us. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. Now, the second command comes in verse 15. Be holy in all you do. Look at verses 14 to 16. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy, because I am holy. Now, to be holy means to be set apart from sin, set apart for God. Before we get into the practice of this, see the motivation that Peter gives us. He says, as obedient children. You know, when we put our trust in Jesus, our identity changes. Before we trusted in Christ, we were rebels from God, cut off from relationship with him and facing his righteous anger. But when we trusted in Christ, well, we were made God's children, forgiven and adopted by him. Our identity has changed. Now, Peter calls us obedient children, not because we never sin, but because our commitment to Christ when we turned to him was to obey him. And because in eternity we will be perfectly obedient. Now, children often take after their parents. Think of my own family. My father is a man of great sophistication and intelligence. Unfortunately, those genes seem to have skipped my generation. Instead, I've inherited the Drake eyebrows, which without constant trimming quickly get out of control. Well, believers, God has made us his children, and he wants us to take after him, not in sophistication, intelligence, or in eyebrows. He wants us to take after him in his holiness. This was God's desire for his people, even back in the book of Leviticus. He said, "Be holy, because I am holy." Now, God's holiness means he is set apart from all sin. He's completely pure, fully good in all that he is and all that he does. And he wants his children to share in his holiness. He wants us to be set apart from sin, to be different from the wickedness and rebellion of this world. He wants us to be pure and good as he is. And the challenge is all-encompassing. Did you notice at the end of verse 15? Be holy in all that you do. This gives such significance to every area of life. How we speak to our friends at school, how we speak to our colleagues at work, how we spend our leisure time, what we watch online, how much we drink. God wants us to be set apart from sin, set apart from him. I wonder if there's areas of your life that the Spirit is putting his finger on, where God is calling us to keep striving to be holy. Now, it's a lifelong challenge. We still have sinful desires. We often mess up. That's why we keep turning back to God for forgiveness. But you know, holiness isn't a burden. It's not a downside. It's not a pain. It is the most enormous privilege. God is inviting us to be like him. The motivation when it's hard to keep growing in holiness is to remember that God has made us his children. We are forgiven and adopted by him, and now he wants us to be like him. His Spirit is helping us change, so we work to be holy in all that we do. Lockdown has taken so many things away from us, but here is one thing that can't be taken away. The purpose we have to strive with God's help to be holy in all that we do. So Peter has given us two commands so far. He said, set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. He said, be holy in all you do. Well, there's a third command in this passage, and it comes at the end of verse 17. Live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. We are called to live as strangers here in reverent fear. Now, before we explore what this means, it will help to see the motivations that Peter gives us. And the first is at the start of verse 17. Since you call on a father who judges each man's work impartially. Peter reminds us that one day God will assess our lives. Now, for the believer in Jesus, this won't be a judgment to see whether we go to heaven or hell. No, if we're trusting in Jesus, the price for our sins has been paid. We are forgiven. Heaven is secure. But we will still stand before God for his fatherly assessment of our lives. If we've been faithful in serving God, there'll be praise and reward. And if we've not been faithful in serving God, there'll be disappointment and sorrow. It's a bit like when a student at school gives the school report to their parents at the end of term. The report won't determine whether the student's still part of the family. Of course they are. The report won't determine whether they're allowed back into the family home. Of course they will be. But the report determines whether there'll be praise or disappointment. See, one motivation we have to live as strangers here in reverent fear is that we know that God will assess our lives. And we want him to praise us, not to be disappointed in us. Well, the other motivation comes in verses 18 to 19. For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. Now, I did some research and discovered that the highest ransom ever paid was $134 million. In 1997, Victor Lee, the son of a Hong Kong tycoon, was kidnapped by a notorious kidnapper whose nickname was Big Spender. and his father paid $134 million to get his son back. But you know that is nothing compared to what God has paid to get us back. It's nothing compared to the ransom God paid to rescue us from the empty way of life we were in, the life of rebellion against him, which was taking us headlong to hell. No, God did not ransom us with silver or gold. He ransomed us with the precious blood of his son. Before the creation of the world, God decided he would give his son to die on the cross to pay for our sins. Through Jesus, who died for us and who rose again, our faith and our hope are in God. Now, we can get so used to saying that Jesus died for us that we forget what a huge thing it is. When Jesus died on the cross, God was giving the most precious thing he had, the blood of his son, to set us free and make us his children. And Peter says that's why we should live as strangers here in reverent fear, because God has given the blood of his son to set us free. And because one day we will stand before God as he assesses our lives. So you see, fear of God, it's not terror of God. No, fear of God is awe and reverence for him. It comes from knowing that he gave the precious blood of Jesus to set us free. And it comes from knowing that we will stand before God and he will assess us. And so we want to please him even when it's hard, to please him even when it means not pleasing others, because we want our Father to praise us. Well, fear of God causes us to live our lives as strangers here. Christians know that this world is not our ultimate home. Our ultimate home is heaven and God's new creation. And so we live as strangers in this world. We don't fit in because we live by the values of God's kingdom, not by the values of this world. That means we're different. We treat our studies and our work differently, not as a way of impressing others, but as a way of serving God. We treat our money differently. It's not our security. It's a resource God has entrusted to us to use for him. We treat our time differently. We don't use it to please ourselves. We prioritize the things that help us know God. We raise our children differently. Our greatest longing for them is not success in this world or financial security or even happiness in our world. No, our greatest longing for our children is that they would know Jesus and be part of his kingdom. Now, it's not easy living as strangers in this world. Especially for young people, the urge to fit in is huge. And why do we do it? Well, because we know that Jesus has given his blood to set us free. And because more than fitting in with this world, we want to hear our Father's praise when he assesses our lives. So if we're Christian believers, what difference does our faith make to how we live our lives? Well, Peter has put his finger on three vital areas that we so easily forget. And did you notice all the way through this passage the way Peter motivates us? You see, God's word is always different to two false ways of thinking. God's word is always different to legalism and to license. So legalism says, if you do this, if you live a good life, then God will save you. And God's word says, no, 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 it's not like that. Now, license says, God has saved you. God has accepted you when you trust in Jesus. So now live in any way you want. And God's word says, no, 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 it's not like that. No, God's word is not legalism and it's not license. Now, the gospel of Jesus tells us that God accepts us and saves us when we trust in Christ. And that now we've received God's mercy, we should respond by living a different life. So if we trust in Christ, God has given us a wonderful future. And so, says Peter, set your hope fully on that future, on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. If we trust in Christ, God has made us his children. He wants us to take after him in his holiness. And so, says Peter, strive to be holy in all that you do. And if we trust in Christ, well, God has given the precious blood of Jesus to set us free. And one day he will assess our lives. And so says Peter, live your lives in reverent awe of God. Live as strangers here, not fitting in with this world, but living to receive the praise of our Heavenly Father. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the mercy that you have freely given us in Christ when we trust in him. Thank you that you have given us a living hope, a new identity as your children, and that you have given the precious blood of Jesus to make us yours. Help us now to respond to these gifts by living different lives. Help us to put our hope fully on Christ's return. Help us to strive to be holy in all that we do. Forgive us, Lord, the sin in our lives. Help us to change. And help us not to fit in with this world, but to live as strangers here in reverent fear. Amen.